The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to titoshometowntales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's titoshometowntales.com.
This is Cap and J-Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap J-Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Rolling on, Cap J Hood, ESPN 1000, First Midwest Bank Showcase Studio. President of the Chicago Cubs baseball operations is Jed Hoyer. He had his hands full for the last several weeks trying to pick a direction and then make the best deals that he could. I tweeted out an MLB.com article yesterday where rival GMs going, the Cubs did a great job. They did what they had to do. It was painful, but they got back a lot that could help accelerate their rebuild, retooling process, whatever it might be. Jed Hoyer joins us now. Jed, good morning. How are you today? I know it was a stressful few weeks, and how was it to go through that looking back now?
It was actually incredibly difficult. I think it was emotional because of the players we were trading, and then it was exhausting because of just the volume of things we had to juggle. I think normally at a deadline like that, you're not trading that many guys or handling that many teams calling in. And so, I give so much credit to the guys in the office. I mean, we were there every night until the wee hours for the whole week or 10 days before. And then the last 48 hours was, really unlike anything I've experienced in this game is in terms of call volume and working through stuff. And I thought the guys in the office did an incredible job of handling it. I would say emotional and exhausting and probably the things that come to mind. I mean, it was, to be honest with you, I'm still in some ways digesting some of my takeaways from the week because I think that things happen so quickly. And, we had suitors that you thought were going to be in that dropped out. You had people coming in late. It's just all those things happen. And I think it's going to take me a while to really mentally get a chance to take notes and think about what the takeaways were. But, I understand the emotional toll, on the fan base, especially given, my relationship with those players. But I also think in the end, for the Cubs, we had gotten to a place as an organization where, we had a number of players for two more months. We talked about this in spring training. It's so unusual for a team to have this many expiring contracts. And so, given that we had lost 11 in a row, given that the Brewers had taken off, this felt like the clear, decisive direction to take, and we took it.
Now that we've turned the page on this championship era of these teams, these players that we saw, for you, Jed, personally, how disappointing was it for you to see this team on paper that looks good but underachieve and not get to their goal of winning another championship?
I feel like I'll probably have more perspective as I get away from it. I couldn't be more proud of the fact that we built something up that, from scratch, so to speak. You look at it and we were really bad in 12 and 13 and we built it up and we had all these great young players and, we probably won earlier than we thought in 2015. And then, 2016 was a magical run. Now, I think 2017, we sort of showed our talent at the end of the year and then fell short to what I would say is a great Dodger team. But I have to admit that, 2018, 19, 20, and 21 were pretty frustrating, that we would look at our offense on paper, look at these names, and we would, underperform. In 2018, we stopped hitting down the stretch and lost those two one-game playoffs, so to speak. In 2019, we had some injuries that happened late, but certainly we underperformed down the stretch and missed the playoffs. In 2020, we did make the playoffs, won the division, but, obviously our performance at the end of the year, the last month or so, was really disappointing offensively. And then obviously we collapsed against the Marlins. And then this year, the same thing. And so I think I think all those things are going to be wrapped up into what I think about this era. I think it's the best Cubs era, you know, in over 100 years. I mean, I couldn't be more proud of winning a title and, you know, making the playoffs 5 out of 6 years and going to, you know, 3 LCSs. And but at the same time, you know, you feel like, you know, this group with this much talent as a group, we're not a great offense. And I think that, you know, ultimately, you know, I think that, you know, over the last 3 or 4 years, some of these players had showed glimpses of the talent they have. But certainly, you know, especially over the last 2 years, some of these players that I think have immense talent hadn't played as well. So, I mean, it's going to take me a while, I think, to digest that also, because I think you can be proud of it. But at the same time, also think, you know, have some frustration about, you know, why did this offense continue to sputter despite the talent in this offense?
We're talking to Jed Hoyer on our Corona Hotline here on ESPN 1000 on the Cap J Hood Morning Show. Jed, you in 12, you and Theo were very articulate in laying out a plan. And I remember both of you being on the air with me saying, look, it's going to be painful a little bit, but we're going to build you something. And you did, and you won. Can you articulate a plan to the fan base that's out there going, okay, I just saw my favorite players hit home runs this weekend for other teams. You were very transparent. Will you be that transparent now?
I think today I won't, if I'm being honest with you, because I think that in some ways, like I said this the other day after the trade deadline, you know, I think there's a lot of things that we have to figure out before we can lay out that plan. You know, in the fall of 2011, when we came here, Theo and I sort of had different ideas about what we were going to do. And it wasn't really until the new CBA came out, changed the rules, that we really said, okay, this is the clear path. Let's go as hard as we can in that direction. And so, you know, right now I think I'm very much still in the process of figuring out exactly, you know, the right way to head. And I think when we do, we will go 100% in that direction. I think that's, you know, it's Theo's personality, you know, it's my personality. And I feel like you have to be decisive in this game and you have to make hard decisions. And we'll certainly do that. You know, but I think you also can't just say, I'm going to be decisive and not know exactly where you're going. And, you know, we have a CBA negotiation coming up. I think where that goes will certainly be, we'll say a lot. I mean, for example, you know, one thing people don't talk about is, you know, you look at some of the players that were traded. You know, the small market teams that hold rentals, they can make a qualifying offer and they can get a pick, you know, after the first round, call it the 35th pick in the draft. If we do the same thing with our guys, we get the 75th pick in the draft. That's a massive difference, and that really changes your perspective on what to do at the deadline. So, you know, these rules that are made, these do have a huge impact on what we do. And so I think right now it'd be premature to say exactly what we're going to do. But I think the thing that is most important is that, and we talked about this a lot before, is that we had really gotten to a place as an organization in sort of 1920 and maybe even a little bit in 21 where we were sort of missing the two most important currencies. You know, we had this team had gotten more and more expensive just through arbitration. And so we did not have a lot of financial flexibility. We did go over the luxury tax twice, which was very strategic, and we were thankful that the Ricketts would let us do that. But we were aggressive financially, but we kind of run out of available resources because of the players that were making more and more money. And then we invested a ton of prospects in this group. We kept trading and trading and trading, trying to supplement this group to be able to win. And so when you look up and you don't have a ton of flexibility financially, you don't have a ton of flexibility from a prospect standpoint, that's not a healthy organization. And we had gotten to that place where we had a major league team that was very talented, but as a baseball operation, we were not as healthy as we had been. I'd say going into the 2015 season, that was probably the most healthy we ever were. We had all this young talent and we had a ton of available resources. And that's really the place that we need to get to in order to take off again. And I think we're in so much better shape today than we were before. You know, we're going to have financial flexibility because, you know, we're kind of through those arbitration years of all those players. And then we're going to have prospect currency because I really feel like we've done a really good job of restocking our farm system over the last year. So We're not there yet with any of that, and some of our prospects are young. But I do think that when I think about the currency in this game, when you have both those things, it really allows you to do a lot of different positive things in team building. And so we're heading in the right direction from that standpoint.
So you mentioned, you know, there was kind of a ceiling to the success as it ends up 17, 18, 19, 20, where there's success, but you don't get to a chance to contend and be in the World Series. So was there ever a time, Jed, not Theo, but you in particular, did you ever think that, hey, maybe we should be able to change some of our offensive parts so we're not so stagnant?
You know, it's an interesting that's a very interesting concept, because I think in some ways, I agree with the theory. You know, obviously our offense broke, but the offense that broke is made up of all these players that, you know, I think are excellent players who I think, you know, with Cap reference, hitting home runs, and you know, so I don't think you can entirely just say it was because of, you know, if we had taken one hitter out and put one different hitter in, then all of a sudden we would take off, you know. And I think that that's one of the challenges. And then we have to be honest that, you know, these players had stretches of high production, you know. But really, like, you know, there wasn't the incredible seasons that we were, you know, you're hoping for in their late 20s, early 30s, and that had a factor in this too. That, you know, we always talk about sometimes in order to win, you need, you know, excellent performance or surprisingly good performance out of guys. And that's something that wasn't happening either. So I think it's a hard one. I mean, I do think we got, we put the ball on the ground probably too much. We struck out too much. But ultimately, I think one of the biggest frustrations was simply like as a group, we should have been better. And that's something that'll take me a long time to figure out why this group, This collection of excellent individual parts was unable to kind of come together to be a good offense.
So we played some audio from Chris Bryant from February of 2020, where he said, "I never saw any extension offers in these, you know, massive reports." Yet I've talked to you about this on the air. Theo was on this station and said, "Look, we made monster contract extension offers to all of our core guys. They chose not to accept it, and that's their right." So fans are going, "Well, hold on a second. Chris is saying I didn't see this. Other guys are saying they did." So could you put this to bed for us? What exactly happened? Why guys didn't want to sign?
So that is the thing that will probably be my greatest source of frustration from this era. And I don't want to address, you know, any one of these individually, because I don't think I think we said, you know, we wouldn't talk about, you know, extension talks, you know, publicly. And I think it's in bad faith to sort of do it now. But the only thing I will say is that while frustrating, I put my head on the pillow every night knowing that we put our best foot forward. The extensions that we offered these guys will hold up exceptionally well. Historically, they'll hold up exceptionally well against the open market. And I don't know why guys didn't want to sign. I don't know why guys didn't want to even counter offer oftentimes. I don't know. And because every one of these guys would say they wanted to stay in Chicago, we want to be a Cub. But then when we sit down and do negotiations, that wasn't how they acted. And you know, I see a guy like Lance Lynn who comes to Chicago and, you know, signs an extension. He certainly, you know, could have gotten more on the open market this winter, but hey, I want to stay here. I want to be a White Sox. And you know, that wasn't something, you know, other than Kyle Hendricks, who I admire for really rolling up his sleeves with us, we didn't have that. And so it's a source of incredible frustration for me, but at the same time, it's a source of zero second guessing. It's a source of zero analysis from my end that what could we have done, because I look at it and I know what was offered, and I know what the dialogue was. And I think we, like I said, we put our best foot forward. We tried our hardest, and, you know, those efforts were not reciprocated.
Jed, when did you know it was time to trade some of your core pieces? It had to be before the losing streak, right? Because we all knew the contract situation. So when did you have in your gut, like, yeah, there might be time for a change here?
Well, you know, I think once we went into the season with this group, we had sort of committed that we were going to see it through the year. And so had we not had that losing streak, had we continued to play the good baseball that we played in May and early June, then we would have been on the buy side and we would have pushed in. And you know, I think in a lot of ways that we were trying to do that in some ways to sort of honor this group, like, hey, we'll give you guys one last shot to do it. But then, you know, the 11-game losing streak and the fact that the Brewers took off, I mean, it really made the decision, you know, easy in my mind that, okay, you know, we gave this group a shot this year. We didn't break them up before the season. We have a chance to win. And ultimately, like, they did play well for a while. And, you know, whether it was a schedule, whether it was exhaustion, whether it was, you know, just, you know, not being quite good enough, you know, we didn't play well enough and we fell out of the race. And I think once that happens, you know, in my mind, I think we would have been missing an incredible opportunity as an organization to acquire a lot of young talent. And I think that, you know, when you're a big market, you don't get extra draft picks like the other four teams in our division. It is much, much, much more difficult to build up a young group of talented players. And really, other than being able to make some trades, you are at a strategic disadvantage. And again, the other four teams in our division, it's much easier to build up a farm system and have good young players. So, you know, once that happened, you know, that direction was obvious, and it felt like let's not go halfway. Let's be as aggressive as we can to try to reset things. And we made a lot of trades, and we've done this before where going into that, you know, getting volume of young players is really important, that oftentimes it's not the player that you're most excited about, but if you do a really good job from a scouting standpoint, from a front office standpoint, and you target players that do things that you like as an organization, you know, oftentimes it's a different guy that really steps up. And I've been using the example of Kyle Hendricks a lot this week, where he was the second player in that Dempster deal. Everyone was talking about Christian Villanueva, who was the third baseman. He was kind of a very end of the top 100 prospect at the time we got him, and that was the player everyone was talking about. And, you know, meanwhile, Kyle Hendricks has been one of the best pitchers in the National League for a long time. And so, you know, when I look at the amount of volume that we've brought into the system in the last year, I think we're becoming a deep system. And I think with good player development, I think we're going to get a lot of talent out of this group. And so I think that was a big part of the mindset is, you know, trading one or two guys only nets you a few prospects. If you're aggressive and make a lot of trades, you have a chance through volume to really end up on a good side of that.
It's interesting that you say that, because one of the things that Cap and I have talked about is the balance of adding free agents here this offseason for you and cultivating young talent. It sounds like, just from that last answer, that you will definitely be looking at free agents. But what about the farm system and trying to develop whoever's going to be the next Bryant Rizzo, the next Baez, players of that ilk?
Yeah, I mean, I think we feel really good about our farm system and our player development. I think Matt Dorey does a great job running the operation. I think Justin Stone on the hitting side and, you know, Craig Breslow on the pitching side are guys that we think make a huge difference. And so I think that's going to be a massive part of our focus over the next, you know, 3 to 5 years, is let's make sure that we really focus on player development and get the most out of these guys. Because, you know, when you really look at, you know, what led to this, you know, great run of Cubs baseball, getting and making the playoffs 5 out of 6 years, and these players that everyone recognizes and loves, it's like, you know, we developed these guys well, you know. And I think that they were great players, but I also think that they were brought up and they were put in positions to succeed, and they did. And I think that's really important, that you have to, you know, not only develop them well, but when you do bring them up, you have to put them in a position to succeed.
Hey, I got to ask you, Wilson Contreras came out over the weekend and said, I want to be here. I want to help get this thing back to where it was, and I absolutely want to engage in a contract extension. So a two-part question for you. Is that something you're open to, getting something done with him, a guy who has openly said, I want to be here? And how soon, because I remember Theo saying in 2012, yeah, see you in about 2017. It was accelerated by a year. How soon can you look and go, yeah, we're back in the race in our division, and now we take the next step beyond that?
You know, like I said before, I think it's going to take me a little bit of time to digest exactly where we are and think about where we are strategically. But I don't believe, like, you know, the whole concept of a rebuild, and I just, the game has changed a lot. I think that what we went through the last time is not what we're looking to do again. And I think that we actively want to use free agency to try to kind of reset things quickly. And I think the most important thing is picking out the right players, and also the ascension of these young players, like how quickly that happens, I think will determine a lot of it. But I don't foresee anything like we went through before. And listen, Wilson, the guy, he's so talented and so passionate, and I think that he's been probably more outspoken over the last couple weeks than ever before, and I think some of that is probably his frustration with what he was seeing, and some of that is he this guy just wants to win. I think being in a losing situation is really hard on him. But listen, I haven't spent the time yet, given the deadline, to really circle back on that. But that's what you want to hear. You want to hear players say, I want to be here. This is the place for me. And ultimately, that's something we'll strongly consider, and something that we will certainly spend a lot of time thinking about.
Jed Hoyer with us on Cap'n Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Jed, what is the difference between the job David Ross is doing now and Joe Maddon toward the end of his tenure?
Well, I'm not sure exactly how to answer that. I mean, I just would say that I think David Ross has done an excellent job. I think that when we brought him in here, we didn't know exactly, how things would look. I think we knew that, we would give this group that we had that he had been a part of, we would give them a chance to win. But obviously, COVID hitting certainly changed the arc of that and changed his first year. I think he's done a great job. I mean, I think that his way with people is exceptional, A+. His motivation is A+. I think that he, from a game management standpoint, I think he and Andy Green make a really good partnership, and I think he'll only continue to get better on that front, just simply because he didn't have the experience of some guys. So, I mean, I think we're exceptionally fortunate to have him. I think when I look around the league, and I think that that's an area where we're really fortunate, really lucky. And I think talking to David over the last few days, I mean, I think it's obviously emotionally hard for him as well, given his relationship with these players. But there's also a sense of a difference that now it's a different job. It's going to be about developing players at the major league level. About sort of building something new, and building something new is exciting and it's invigorating. And I think what I've heard in his voice over the last few days is that I think he really is excited and invigorated. And one of the things that we have to do a great job of is developing players at the major league level, and that doesn't only mean like when guys come up. It means as guys are there, having guys continue to get better and better at the big league level. And I think that's, from a coaching staff standpoint, I think that's something he's really got his eye on and something he really wants to focus on.
So as we let you go, Cap and I want to make sure we're saying this right. As we describe the Cubs era now moving forward, are we calling this a reset, a retool, or a rebuild? Because I think you used all three in this interview.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I was getting pushed in that the other day. I hate the labels of it. I actually don't even know what they mean. I think that I think from an organizational standpoint, I think there was a reset of, from having a bunch of players on expiring contracts to now a bunch of young players. I think there's a reset in that, but I don't know what that means from a time frame standpoint. I don't know what that means from a one loss record standpoint. The only thing I will say is that, listen, I just like this week, me and my staff in the office, we will do everything we can to try to put the best product on the field possible. And ultimately, all we really are focused on is how do you build the next great Cubs team? I think that, to me, the lasting legacy of this group of Cubs players is that we changed the way people look at Cubs baseball. When we got here, I used to joke that people could name the playoff teams like they're talking about their kids' birthdays, and, no one really expected to make the playoffs. When they did make the playoffs, it was such a big deal, and then they get bounced in the first round, and they would talk about that team for 7 or 8 more years. And we changed that. We got to a place where, losing the first round was considered devastating and unacceptable. And even losing the LCS was a disappointment. And I love that because that's what we did as a group, the players, front office, ownership. We changed the way that Cubs baseball is looked at. We're supposed to win now. And no one wants us to build a team that's, you know, plucky and then happens to, you know, be a wild card and lose in the first round. Like, people want us to build a team that they think can win the World Series every year. So that's our goal. That's what we're focused on, is building that next great Cubs team. And I credit this group, the one that, you know, was traded away the other day. Like, this group changed that. And I think that will be their ultimate legacy, is that there's no more lovable losers because of this group of players.
Hey, man, appreciate your time. You're very generous with your time as we let you go. You and Theo tore it apart. You had no infrastructure. Now you do. Have you talked to Theo since you did all this?
Yeah, I talk to Theo all the time. I mean, I think you can't, you know, a relationship like that. I mean, we've worked together forever. Listen, I still seek his counsel on stuff. We still bounce ideas off each other. I know ultimately, you know, he wants me and this organization that he cares about to have success. And so I talk to him a lot. I probably talk to him, I normally probably talk to him every couple of days, and probably talk to him a little bit more during this process. And, you know, sometimes it was just a funny anecdote, and sometimes it was, hey, like, what do you think of this idea or that idea? But yeah, I mean, I think, again, we sort of worked next to each other for almost 20 years. And I think, with that comes a lot of trust. And obviously, like I said, I think, he cares. He wants to check in. He would check in and say, hey, what's going on, man? Like, you doing okay? How's the group? And he cares about it, very much. And so as a result, I think we talk often. I think he's doing great things on the MLB side. He's got some other things going. But, certainly, I think at this trade deadline, I think there's probably a little bit of FOMO for him, because he just he loves being in the action. He loves, thinking about things intellectually in this way. And so I think part of him was probably the first time I'd heard that. I think he was, he wanted to be in the action and not on the sidelines.
Well, reintroduce yourself to your family, and we appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Have a good day. There he is, Jed Hoyer, President, Baseball Operations, Chicago Cubs.